Call to order a board meeting Friday, December 16th, 2016, and please all stand with us for flexing. Follow me.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Chair Scholes.
Here.
Vice Chair White.
Here.
Board Member Herman.
Here.
Thank you. My apologies to everyone for being late. I think someone called it out exactly right. I had an emergency that I took care of, but I am here and we are going to handle the organization's business in a professional, timely manner. With that, agenda review. Any members of the board want to change the order of the agenda or you want to see this presented?
Receive as presented.
Okay. There's a motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. All right, so let's move on. We are going to do approval of minutes. This is consideration of minutes, and I believe these are for multiple meetings, correct? September 16th, October 21st, and a special meeting, but two special meetings on October 28th and November 4th. Do any board members have any questions or want to change anything?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I did not see any.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
There's a motion.
I'll second.
There's a second. There's no additional discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. All right, we're going to move to community comments. Do any member of the community want to address the board on any item that's not on the agenda? Okay, seeing no one come forth, we close that community comment period and bring it back to the board. We have no items on consent today, and we have no public hearings. So we are now going to move to continued business, and this is the status report on the preparation of the 5-6-5-30 strategic plan. Chief Liberty, you have the floor.
Good morning. Thank you. Excuse me. I wanted to come to the board and check in on the status of the strategic plan. There's been a lot of interest in this process that we started in April of this year. Not to go through the entire staff report, but we did begin the process in April with a pretty diverse group of folks, including some community representatives who were brought in halfway through the first day of our 2 days to basically allow us to vet what we had identified as objectives and goals and to solicit additional information from them, which was really helpful. What that led to, excuse my use of scotch tape, but basically goals and objectives and timelines and champions, who was going to ride shotgun over certain topics. We're making very good progress on this, a little delayed by staffing. Happy that Chief Parkey is here and he hasn't realized that he has a large component of the strategic plan to complete. But I see us definitely getting a draft plan to you well before the end of this fiscal year. I did bounce the executive summary that you have attached to your packet off the executive group on Wednesday, and I can share more about that later. Basically, we've accomplished some of the items in the strategic plan. We've identified components to have further discussion. I would say the big ones have to do with capital needs, whether that's apparatus, capital equipment, or human capital as far as staffing. We're really going to take a look at what do the next 5 years look like in terms of needs, quantify those numbers with Ms. Malicote's assistance, IT evolution. Staffing would not just be suppression personnel, but what if we are moving towards this standalone organization? What does our administrative staff look like? What does our prevention bureau look like? So a lot of that discussion will happen in January and February. I'll meet with Debbie probably in March, and we'll quantify these numbers and put it in draft form and bring it back to you. At this point, I'd just like to take a pause and ask if you have any specific questions for me.
Okay, let's see if there's any questions.
Yes. So you indicated that there'll be another update coming back in February for staffing. Did I hear that right, January?
Actually, that's early February. The first week of February, I'm going to convene a working group to define what does that staffing look like in terms of positions and numbers. Once we get that, then we can start attaching dollar amounts to it. So I won't be, but my intention is to come back to the board in the March-April timeframe with a draft document for your review.
So then you indicated that there was progress made and you showed up your very sophisticated chart related to your progress. But did that actually come out of the war room or? That was, and also for the record, that was something that was given to us in May in a executive summary or a memorandum report. I mean, it was like the first part of May that was attached to a update for us. So as I reviewed that this morning, I was wondering, when you say that there's been, you know, accomplishments have been achieved, then I know on that sheet, and apologies to the other board members who don't have that in front of them, but there's several things that are, you know, slated for the fourth quarter of 2016, for example. And so my question is, you indicated there was setbacks, so we've got, we're in quarter 2016, so is there anything that you can tell me that has been completed on that to make sure that we're on track for, you know, the completion goals?
Oh, certainly. Let me give you some for instances.
Give me some for instances.
If we go to underneath organizational effectiveness, we're talking about developing a technology master plan. We have had a series of meetings, and I think the one that I had earlier this week with some gentlemen with CIO Solutions and Walt Cusick with the City of Rio Grande actually identified a really straightforward, cost-effective solution to increase connectivity between the three fire stations. Not to kill you with details, but if you literally thought about where the three fire stations are located and that we use a reporting system called Firehouse, which is sitting on a server at the Grover Beach Station, if the Oceano Fire Station needs to do a report for an incident from that fire station, their data link goes to the City of Arroyo Grande City Hall. And from there, it goes back to the Grover Beach Fire Station. So connectivity speeds are low and antiquated, but the data routing is very problematic. So a couple of things are going to happen to increase that. We're going to use some broadband connectivity. We're going to use some advanced technology that are, you can either call them VPNs for virtual private networks or firewalls to secure what Walt sees as network items that need to be secured. And then we'll have a wide, so if you think about a large pipe, we're going to take a piece of it and it's going to be called tunneled, and that's going to be secure. The remaining capacity in that pipe is going to be open for internet access, Wi-Fi connection at the fire stations, because that's a defined need. Hardware-wise and engineering-wise, we're looking at about $6,000 for the pieces we need, and then a recurring monthly fee, which is very similar to what we're already paying. So from looking at using air links and repeater sites and all of these very sophisticated solutions, we've look like we've identified a very straightforward solution, which solves and increases connectivity, allows for Wi-Fi connectivity at the fire stations. Secondarily, talking about reporting systems, the fire chief submitted a grant through Homeland Security, and we just got notification we were successful in moving towards what's called a cloud-based solution, which means we're not relying on servers and maintenance and storage and all of those things for a solution called Image Trend, which is very widely used throughout the state of California and the nation. They're actually based in Minnesota. The grant pays for the EMS portion of Image Trend, as well as paying for the engineering to integrate into our CAD system at dispatch. It also pays for the handheld devices that the crews will use when they respond to an emergency medical call. And what we're doing is piggybacking onto that grant, and we're buying a replacement to our fire reporting system. So we'll be using ImageTrend for both EMS and for fire. It's a $40,000 first year investment. Our out-of-pocket will be $14,000. The rest will be covered by the grant. Then the annual ongoing of about $18,000 a year will be largely offset by our existing license fees for Firehouse. So huge accomplishment on the IT front. We're looking at a staffing solution as well, which was identified in the strategic plan. So there's some real progress on the IT master plan, and I couldn't have done it without help from Walt. We'll be having some follow-up conversations with Captain Brandt regarding increasing some of our dead zones in the radio network and what that looks like. That will definitely be coming later. Underneath organizational effectiveness, looking at developing a training plan, we have a really committed training cadre group of employees. Having Chief Pargee here, who has training background in his previous agency, we're going to develop a comprehensive training program. A lot of that is actually going to be identified as succession planning. I've been to a number of conferences, and it's no surprise to any of us. We're looking at the baby boomer retirement rates, and we're looking at who's going to move up and fill these positions that the boomer generation has been holding for quite some time. By having a dedicated, committed, published succession planning document, we will have the training that needs to go into each rank. So our firefighters will already be training for driver, operator, engineer. Our captains will already be pushing into a battalion chief succession planning training program. By having that defined structure and pathway, we can almost zero base our training budget by also adding in the other hard skills that we need to accomplish. So that one, I don't have a huge status update for you other than to say we framed how it's going to be developed. Lastly, on developing staff information program underneath organizational effectiveness, it was how do we better communicate, especially when we look at the multi-generational methodologies that people use to communicate. You know, us boomers, you can just talk to us or call us on the phone. Generation X, they want an email. The millennials want a text message or something else. So, and you take all of that and then you add it into a shift-based organization. How do we truly communicate better internally? We've done all-hands conference calls that take place at shift change. That's been an improvement. We've done some all-hands meetings. That hasn't happened as frequently as I'd like. So with Erin's help, because she's far more tech-savvy than I am, we've set up an internal YouTube channel for Five Cities Fire. We've ordered some equipment to do low-budget videos using an iPhone with some lighting, and we'll work on editing. So we're well on our way to improving employee communication, as delineated here. In the information plan. A health and fitness plan was also on here. We do have money in the existing budget to start sending some folks for National Fire Protection Agency specific physicals. We'll be moving forward on that. Something that I've really wanted to do and I've talked about in the executive summary is when you look at the national fire stats for line of duty deaths, the overwhelming percentage of line of duty deaths are cardiac related. So why aren't we having a focused wellness program in this organization to minimize the risk of cardiac or stroke? We're going to be moving forward with that. There's some agencies within the Tri-Counties area, but again, it's been one of those manpower capacity issues. So we'll be moving forward on that, but physicals will be doled out before the end of the fiscal year for the funding that we have budgeted.
So on item number four that you just reviewed on the development of health and fitness plan, again, the marks were for third quarter 2016 and second quarter of 2016. So based on what you're saying then, is all of this then going to be in the next 3 months more comprehensively determined?
So
is that realistic?
So things like 4A, a budget for and implement NFPA 1582 physicals, there's funding in the current budget to send at least the initial group of folks for these physicals, so that'll be knocked off. Reviewing the IAFF fitness and program implement into the FCFA program, those may very well slip, but they won't hold up the publishing of the strategic plan. It would be, they'll be defined as a work in progress
right.
during the next 5-year window.
Okay. All right.
Okay? All right. I'm just gonna move on to number two. I've lifted the second scotch tape document before me, which is financial sustainability. And this is a large part that we will be having the meetings in the next month. I know Chief Pargee is bringing together the apparatus committee on January 6th. I've scheduled a meeting to talk staffing on February 2nd, and the other piece that I'm working with Chief Pargee is really identifying the capital items that we deploy that have a $5,000 or higher price tag, and that will go into a capital replacement document for your review as well. Number two, create a stakeholder outreach plan. Oh, I see Tricia and Erin are in charge of this one. You're fired. So
Merry Christmas.
So this is going to be one of those that will be identified. The components will be identified in the plan, but this is going to be ongoing because pieces of it already exist. We do have the customer feedback cards. Erin took the data from that, and she created an online survey that's on our webpage in case people don't feel comfortable calling us. But what was really identified by the community work group that came into the strategic planning session was your customers are the people that dial 911, and they know who you are, and they know how to rate your service, but what about the rest of us? So the creation of the Friends of the Five Cities Fire Authority is so exciting because that's one facet of us integrating better within our community and creating some community support. But it was also identified in the strategic plan that we should meet with a marketing communications professional to better focus on branding and getting our message out there. And this was all defined in the strategic plan by, at the end of 5 years, when we go to decision makers and policy makers and say, what do you want to do about the evolution of the Five Cities Fire Authority? We need to have a methodology to have the community engaged, better informed, and have an idea of who the Five Cities Fire Authority truly is. So that in essence, that was this whole section on community outreach plan. You know, we're out there, station tours, we teach CPR. Chief Heath and I were just at Bolsa Chica talking about disaster preparedness, and we'll probably go back and teach CPR. But that's just hitting little tiny pieces of our community, and how do we do that in a more broad fashion? Number three, arrive at an end game, 3 to 5 year plan. Well, the document, and I know Board Chair Scholes was in here for 2 days. The intent of the document was to give you the framework as policymakers, and there's going to be recommendations. I don't think this signifies the end of the work that's going to be required. And I mentioned in the executive summary, there I believe you're going to need a standard to cover study, an operational audit, a financial analysis, and more detailed look at LAFCO other than what I couldn't accomplish by meeting with David Church and getting a very brief synopsis of what the requirements would be. But that kind of walks you through where we are and what we've been able to accomplish. And if you have any additional questions, I'd love to entertain them.
Karen, you have a question? Wow, that was quite the update.
I'm exhausted.
I was thinking you put a cover on it and we're good. So let me just make sure I understand. So basically, really where you're heading is we're going to put together a formal written plan, because what you just did pretty much are the main components to that plan. The other part of this is that implementation is ongoing. So we'll just keep checking in, but basically putting together the plan that's in a written fashion that has implementation and dates is where we're trying to ultimately go, but we're not waiting to start implementing. And so you would come back with a report, and then you said March, April time frame. I was thinking put a little pressure on you is maybe we just say by the end of Q1 2017, so March 31st.
Fiscal quarter, sir?
Calendar. But that's a conversation for us to have.
And if I could just add, this is the nuts and bolts of what was identified. I do want to touch on some of the additional information that will be included in the plan, because strategic plans can be structured just as here's the recap of the grid, but we're also going to identify community risk, spend some time on that. There's been discussions, and I'm just using this as a for instance, why do you need a ladder truck? We've heard that a lot. You don't need $1 million ladder truck. Well, if you look at the general plans of the communities and you look at the zoning as to what's allowed to be constructed with multi-story buildings and big box stores, that alone defines the need for a truck. So we're going to talk about that within the breadth of the document, and tie, instead of talking about the California Mutual Aid, you know, Act or our county, we're really going to focus on what are the risks within our 10 square miles and what are the resources that we need to provide an adequate level of service to those.
Okay. And so what would you have that the conversation under determining capital needs or?
So the way I have the rest of the draft document formulated, you know, obviously there's going to be some background information in the document, there's going to be acknowledgments in the document, and we're going to talk about community risk, which we talk about quite a bit when it comes to grant applications anyway, so a lot of that work has been completed. And we'll tie that into wildland-urban interface, we'll tie it into specifics to each of the three communities, And that will help us define what capital needs do we need moving forward.
Right.
And as I've said to you with the apparatus, 6 years ago, everyone threw all of the apparatus into this pot called the Five Cities Fire Authority. But Chief Pargee is going to lead a discussion saying, if we're starting over today on 10 square miles, what does our fleet look like? What do we really need? And that will end up being quantified for you.
So, Chief, do you, I know we've been having this discussion about modifications to the GAA, and we talked about the low-hanging fruit, and then the next one is something that's a little more major. Is that something you see needing to be done concurrent with this strategic plan, or is it something that should be done prior to, or...
This would be a great segue into sharing with you at least some of the dialogue I had with the executive team on Wednesday.
Okay.
We talked about the board's intention that after the general election, the board felt it was wise to bring the three communities together with the councils and the board and talk about the JPA revisions and have some dialogue. The managers actually thought it was a fabulous idea. They asked a couple of things. One, can we be involved with how you put the agenda together for that meeting? Certainly. And number two is it would be really helpful if the draft strategic plan was available for everyone to review before you scheduled that meeting.
Okay.
I would go along with that. Because I think everybody needs more information before they start.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Just thought, you know me, I got to raise stuff while we're in the form. So
then the plan would then be, based on what I'm hearing from my other board members, is to get the document that we just discussed and then have that be, you know, shared with our councils, I don't know, posted on the website for community review.
They certainly could do that.
And then... I mean, as a mechanism to, if, you know, we want the community to have the information beforehand, and then at some point then schedule a all-hands community meeting type to review the JPA.
My thought is, as the executive officer and your employee, would be to present the draft document to you and allow you the opportunity to first give me any direction, input,
certainly
revisions before we published it in a draft form and distributed it to your peers.
Okay. Yeah, and I would just say if he's bringing a draft up in a public meeting,
it's a public
review, but then it's not posted, because we're going to make probably some changes to the document. And once it is a draft, then that is information that would be presented to the three member agencies as we go forward in the joint meeting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anyone, let me open this up to the community, see if anyone wants to address this item before.
Hello. We've worked, Local 4403, PJ Ferguson, present. We've worked with management in all, if not most of all, of this process. We, as a department, we as a local, have set through, I think this is officially now our third strat plan. That has moved its way through the different stages of the Five Cities Fire Authority. At the end of the day, I think everybody here knows, everybody understands that it's funding. The majority of the items that are going to come before you as a board and move on to Oregonian and Oceano and AG come back to funding and funding structures, you know, whether it's apparatus, whether it's equipment, self-contained breathing apparatus, personal protective. These are all critical items to us being successful on that and us moving forward. I know there's been a lot of dialogue with fire management, the fire board themselves, and the local elected officials. But again, it's going to come down to you being able to articulate that back to your individual councils and boards, how important that funding structure is going to be. Because that in itself will allow us to move forward. We've spent 6 years getting to where we are, but for us to get to where we need to be, it's going to need to be funded appropriately. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ferguson. Mike, I like this mic so much. Anyone else?
I'd like to try this one.
All right. We'll bring it back to the board. And so I think we're clear in the direction that we're heading with this. With the board okay with what I think the chief has laid out and with respect to bringing back the draft to this board.
March.
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 in March. At that point, public does have an opportunity. We will then give further direction, and then that is what will be shared with member agencies, and then we would talk about the joint meeting. And hopefully everyone has had at least the first round of discussion with the board on the low-hanging fruit. We're good. Okay. So let's move to new business. This is consideration of the preliminary fiscal year 2015-16 fiscal position and revenue and expenditure status report as of November 30th, 2016. And so, Chief Lieberman, are you going to start this off and then pass it over to Deb?
Actually, I would like to lob it to Debbie.
Wow.
And fill in any blanks. Thank you.
Yeah, cool.
Good morning. What you have in front of you is a preliminary update of how we ended last fiscal year. The audit is not complete yet, but I don't expect that these numbers will change. We're probably 95% complete with the audit, so I think that the numbers are unlikely to change. If they do change, they're unlikely to change much at all. Based on those numbers, we ended last fiscal year with revenues exceeding our expenditures by almost $1,500, which is a good thing for revenues to exceed expenditures, which means we added a little bit to our fund balance. That fund balance ended with a little over $232,000. You may recall that your board previously designated $55,000 of that fund balance for future vehicle replacement needs. So there's about $177,000 of undesignated fund balance at year end. We previously talked a lot about the significant areas of expenditure, the vehicle maintenance, that you know, with the aging fleet, that's a significant amount of money that was spent in the prior year, and some contractual services, and the purchase of a new apparatus. I've also provided for you an update on the expenditures and revenues as of the end of November. We got a little behind with our, in the city, we had a vacancy in our finance supervisor position. It got us a little bit behind in doing all of our year-ends activities and combining with keeping up with the new year, but we're caught up now and everything, bank reconciliations are done through November. And so my goal is to bring to you monthly information on financial status so you can monitor those their financial position. You see in the current year, overtime is a concern related to out-of-county strike team activity. It looks like we are over budget, but that's simply because we haven't received reimbursement yet for those activities. We're expecting about $85,000 for the activity of the chimney fire, another 20 or so for some activity at the Cervantes fire, I think it is. So those expenditures are yet to be reimbursed. We will do a formal review of expenditures and bring forward to you any recommended adjustments in mid-year budget review, which is scheduled for February.
And if I could just add, focused on overtime for a moment, Debbie does a great job of budgeting overtime for business as usual. What's complicated and compounded us is, you know, and I'm optimistic that January, when we complete assessments for a captain and engineer recruitment, overtime will return closer to normal. But you can't anticipate open positions and turnover, and you can't anticipate injuries. We currently have two people on workers' comp. We had a third who returned to work. So between open positions and injuries, our overtime is trending to be above budget at this point.
Okay. Karen, do you have any questions of staff?
I think Treasurer Malico had answered one of mine, but just kind of for the scenario that related to account 5601, I just want to make sure and kind of for my benefit and others, where it indicates it indicates that June 2016 there was $91,689 spent And this is for maintenance of vehicles on the expenditure report. So do I understand that then in the first 5 months of fiscal year 2016-2017, that today we've spent, you know, close to 50 grand? Okay, that's how, yes, how we read it. So that's then correct. For the remaining 7 months, there's about 52,000 left. Okay, I just want to make sure that I'm connecting the dots on that, and also for emphasis related to the ongoing discussion we have on it's not aging fleet, it's basically, you know, archaic, or, you know, we need to update even aging, because I think we're beyond aging, mm-hmm, just based on the trend that we have on the the expenditure.